Today, my sermon's title is Learning to Love. Got some slides for you guys if you want to put them up there. Scripture to go through. But if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along, so get those ready. With Valentine's Day coming up this coming week, I figured love is a good topic, right? Let's start off by reading some scripture together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, well-known place where the Bible talks about love. We're going to read verses 4 to 7 here in the beginning. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Praise the Lord. Love is a mighty force in this world. But when we describe our world, do we describe it as a loving place? Not entirely. We just turn on the news and we hear about war and fighting, human brutality against other humans. We just take a drive downtown here at Hastings and we see the homeless, the drug addicted, those cold and suffering, starving perhaps even. We hear of diseases and starvation around the world. The world's a cruel place. But even in these cruel moments, there's powerful moments of love that are beautiful. When love stands up against violence, hate, intolerance, suffering, and loving kindness is shown to other people, even to enemies, it's a thing of beauty. Some construction workers were building a high-rise across the street from a hospital. They were working on the third floor, and they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor of the hospital building in the window watching them. And one day they looked across and saw this little girl, and she was holding up a piece of poster board. And on it said, "My name is Lisa. What are your names?" So the next day the construction workers came back and they brought some markers and poster board with them. And they wrote, "My name is Bob. My name is Bill. My name is Harry." And then they wrote a question to the little girl, "How old are you?" The next day the little girl held up a sign that said, "I'm 7 years old." And she asked, "How old are you?" Well, this went on for several days, but one day the construction worker noticed that little Lisa she wasn't there anymore. She wasn't in the window. So at break time, the workers got together some money and they ordered some flowers and a card for this little girl, and they called the hospital and asked what had happened to her. And one of the workers or the nurses said that she had taken a turn for the worse and she was now in an intensive care unit. So they said, "Well, we want to send her some flowers and a card, so can you arrange that?" And they arranged it. Several days passed by and then another sign appeared at the window that read, "Lisa passed away. Thank you for caring." It's a sad story, but still a beautiful one. How such a little act of love can mean so much. It's important that we show little acts of love to everyone around us. especially those who are suffering, going through hard times. A little love can go a long way. Sorry for getting so emotional. I think it's because I got three girls who live with me. But one thing is clear, love is a powerful force. Where would we be without it? Why is love such a powerful force? Have you asked yourself, why is love such a powerful force? The Bible speaks a lot about love. In fact, that's what the Bible is. It's a love story. It's a book of love. It's important for us to understand that love is powerful because love comes from God. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. That's why love is a powerful force in this world. Perhaps one of the greatest meanings and purposes of our life is learning how to love. Think about it. Learning how to love. God gave us the greatest example of how to live a life of love. And he did this through his son, Jesus Christ. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. So think about it. When Jesus was on earth, he was the very embodiment of love. That's a profound thing. Jesus lived a perfect life of love. How he conducted himself, how he met people's needs, the things he did. He was operating in perfect love with people. The greatest example of his love was culminated at the cross, where he gave his very life for every single person so that we can have life. He did that because he loves you. Everything he did was out of love, and he loved those around him in a perfect manner. So when we read about Jesus, when we hear about his teachings, we're seeing a perfect example of how we too should live a life of love. So with that in mind, I want to look at a couple instances in the Bible of Jesus interacting with people. And they're found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. In this passage, we see Jesus showing loving kindness to two people who are entirely different. One is a man, the other is a woman. One is an outcast, poor and unknown. The other is rich and influential, a ruler of a synagogue. And yet Jesus treats both of them with great love. Let's read together. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who's a ruler of the synagogue. Excuse me. Yeah. I think I'm coming down with a cold anyway, so it's not helping with the tears, you know. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And now she had been, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he had came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him, except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called her, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Praise the Lord. What a miracle. By this time, Jesus had gained a great deal of fame. He was well known. He was kind of approaching or was at the pinnacle of his popularity. People respected him as a healer, a teacher, and crowds were swarming around him wherever he went. In fact, there were times when Jesus had to go off in secret to get time to rest and pray. But despite the pressures of popularity and the demands of the crowds around him, constantly pushing him around, and despite all the demands on his time, Jesus, in his love, stopped everything he was doing to help them and meet the needs of these two people. Cal Thomas, a columnist for USA Today, wrote, "Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible." You see, Jesus not only talked about love, he modeled it, he lived it. He acted out of love. So let's look at some ways Jesus showed love to them, because we can learn a lot from Jesus to show love today. First of all, very obviously, Jesus paid attention to them and their needs. In the very beginning of this verses, we read, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had only a daughter, about 12 years age, and she was dying." Now, we don't know where Jesus was going when he returned to town here. Perhaps he was going to teach in a remote place where all these crowds of people could hear him. Perhaps he was on his way to rest because he had just gotten back from a journey. We don't know. But obviously, he was doing something, right? Something important. But as soon as Jairus comes and tells him about his daughter, the very next words we read is about Jesus on his way to Jairus' house. He immediately changes direction and started following Jairus, because this little girl's situation was much more pressing than whatever else perhaps he was doing. It It's a good moment for us to stop and think about how well do we handle interruptions in our life and in our schedule. Right? We're all busy people. We all have the next thing we're doing, or maybe we're resting, and we get interrupted. And what's our usual reaction when we're interrupted to what we're doing, something that we really want to do? Ugh! No, leave me alone. Right? Perhaps the most interruptions I receive from are from my daughters and my wife. It's testing at times, right? But I know it's important. And you have to realize that, hey, this is an opportunity for me to love on my wife, to love on my daughters, to show them that their time means a lot to me, and to show them that I want to give them my time, right? Simple act of love goes a long way. But our flesh comes out, right? Oh, I don't want to be interrupted. Leave me alone. I'm focusing on something, or I'm going somewhere. I'm late, or whatever it may be. But that's our flesh, but the spirit is different, right? The spirit wants to lead us in love. And many times, these interruptions are sent by God. Opportunities even for us to be used by God and to love on people. So Jesus paid attention to Jairus. He changed his plans. He dropped whatever he was doing, wherever he was going, and he went on his way. But Jairus was not the only interruption, right? Again, Jesus was interrupted on his way to Jairus' house. And again, how does Jesus respond? With love. He doesn't turn to this woman and tell her to go away from me or get annoyed. He stops to listen. He wasn't irritable. Let's read verses 43 to 46. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." Let's stop there a little bit. The crowds are pressing in on Jesus. He was being touched all over. But yet, he asks, "Who's touching me?" It's kind of a funny question to ask, right? You ever been at a concert or whatever, and there's lots of people really tight to you, or you line up or whatever? You can't really tell, or even on SkyTrain, right? You can't really tell maybe who's leaning on you or what bumped you in the leg. But Jesus could differentiate this woman's single touch from the pressing crowd. Our world is becoming more and more of an impersonal place. Have you thought about that? You go to a gas station, you don't have to go inside to pay for gas anymore. You can do it all right there at the gas pump. Just tap or swipe your card, right? Same thing at a bank. You don't have to go see a bank teller. There's machines, or you don't even have to go to a bank anymore. You can all do it from your home and a computer. Scan your checks. They get deposited that way, right? We have technology in the palm of our hands that allows us to access a wealth of information, get directions, or even access people electronically, right? Our whole social life can be lived on our phone. Facebook, Instagram, right? We don't have to get together anymore to talk about what's going on in our lives. We can just look and hit that like button, make a comment, right? It's becoming impersonal. More and more. We can go a day without human contact if we want and still take care of all of our business, our work even. Every time I drive by a bus stop and I see everyone with headphones on looking at their phone, I'm reminded of this. A recent study showed that one of the hardest things facing our youth nowadays is loneliness. Think about that. It's crazy, but it's true. It's kind of crazy what it's coming to. We get so self-absorbed and avoid personal contact with other people, and we miss out on opportunities to be loving to one another. But this also presents a great opportunity to show love today, now, right? Because there's a lack of it. So when we show love, it leaves a lasting impression. Jesus took time to stop in the midst of this crowd to give a woman his personal attention as though she was the only one there. Jesus expresses love by affirming her. Verses 47, 48. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." First of all, you need to realize this woman's situation, the reality that she had been living for 12 years. She was an outcast, so to say, of society. They treated her almost like a leper would be treated. Because of her disease, she was considered unclean. And anyone who made contact with her would also be considered unclean. So you can imagine how socially deprived this woman would have been. Her self-esteem must have been as low as it could possibly be. We read that she spent all of her living on doctors, so she wasn't wealthy, she was very poor. Yet no one could help her. She was desperate. But Jesus affirms her. He affirms her, first of all, by listening to her story of desperation. That's why she came trembling. She was scared to talk about her past. It may be even a condensed version of this story that we're reading about. You know, she might have even talked about something in that 12 years of history that was happening. Because perhaps this is the first time in a long time someone had given her such attention and shown such love. And Jesus listened, looking her straight in the face, hearing every word. Are you a good listener? The simple act of giving somebody your undivided attention and listening is a simple act of love. We pass each other very often asking, "How are you?" And what's the Canadian reply? "Good. Fine." Even if we're not fine, many times we just respond automatically like robots. "I'm doing good." Right? Unless you're Finnish. The melancholy Finn, right? I'm fine. Everything's fine. But have you ever been caught off guard when somebody tells you different and actually how they feel? And you weren't really expecting, and you're kind of in a hurry to do something else, and you're like, "Oh." Right? Awkward. Right? It happens. When somebody just says, "Actually, not the greatest." Have you ever had that situation where you've told somebody that, well, things are tough, and then you start telling them about it, but you sense they're not really that interested? How does that feel? Awful. Awful. It's like they're just trying to end the conversation, right, and get away. It happens, and it feels terrible. There are so many of us who just need somebody at some time to just listen, to focus on you, on what's happening in your life, the pain that you're going through, the things you're struggling with, and just to listen. I think Jesus affirmed her not only by what he did, but also by what he said to her. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. What beautiful words for her to hear. Daughter, acceptance. You're healed. Go in peace. Simple words, yet oozing with love. He affirms her that her faith has made her well and acceptable. The Greek word used here, healed or made well, can also, or is used also meaning saved. And there is indication here that she is not only healed but also saved, because Jesus tells her to go in peace. She has faith in Jesus Christ as a Messiah, as who he is, and what he's able to do. Jesus brought an affirmation of his love by taking the time to listen to her. An outcast woman. A woman who could not be social with other people, who hadn't felt perhaps human touch for a long, long time. And now Jesus says to her, your faith has healed you, saved you. Go on your way in peace. Finally, Jesus has expressed love through acceptance. Verses 49 to 56, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. Just want to point out again here, Jesus is interrupted once again, speaking to this woman. And not only that, but bad news. The daughter had passed away while Jesus was delayed with this woman's situation. But Jesus doesn't get irritated. He doesn't get all fussed in a fuss. He acts in love once again. And when he came to the house, verse 51, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and the mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. The miracle is great, and we praise God for it. There's four disturbing words in English that we love to say but hate to hear. What are those four words? No? That's something, yes? How about, I told you so? I told you so. We love to say it when we're right, but we don't like to hear it when we're wrong, right? So the people outside the house, they had mocked Jesus, laughed at him, because he said that she's not dead but sleeping, but they knew she was dead. If I were Jesus, I probably would have done things differently, right? I probably would have gone in that house, raised her from the dead, and then brought her outside and paraded her in front of everybody and said, I told you so. Right? Maybe we're not so rough at times, but we, one way or another, we still like to kind of rub it in that we're right when somebody else is wrong, especially if they laugh at us. Right? It's our human fleshly instinct. But Jesus does things very, very differently. He shows kindness and love, disregards the mocking, the laughing. He doesn't go out and say, I told you so. He didn't do that. He was concerned about how they felt He didn't try to get even. He didn't try to get back at them. He didn't try to humiliate them. He didn't even try to glorify himself. Humble servant, that's how he came. And that's what he models for us. One preacher once said, "I have never had to apologize for my position, but I have oftentimes had to apologize for my disposition." Have you ever had to apologize for the way you say something? Sometimes it's not so important what we say, but how we say it, right? And how we say things is usually originated from the place our heart comes from. Does it come from a place of heart, of love, or does it come from a place of pridefulness? The fact that Jesus didn't want to embarrass anybody or be cruel speaks volumes and teaches us how we are to respond to each other as well. Learning to love is something that we spend a lifetime to do. We need to learn to love one another as God has been loving to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't just tell us that he loves us. He's shown it by action, by sending his one and only Son to die on the cross for all of our sins. And every day, God shows us love through the many graces and mercy we experience every single day. The love of God. And we're called to be extensions of God's love, nurturing kindness in this world. So I just want to encourage you guys, take every day as an opportunity to learn how to love and make a difference in this world, because there is so much pain and suffering, loneliness in this world. And little acts of love done in the name of Jesus goes a long way. Let's resist the flesh and be empowered by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit in love and in truth. Why don't we pray? Why don't we stand up together and pray? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love this day. Lord, we thank you so much that you are God, a loving God. And Lord, we recognize that true love, powerful love, comes from you. And Lord, we just pray that today and every day, we can extend that love to those around us, Lord, starting with our husband and our wives, our family members, our children, to church members here this morning, Lord. You commanded us to love one another as you have loved us. And that way we will be known as your disciples. It is so important that we keep the commandment, the law of love. And Lord, we love you this morning and every day. Teach us, Lord, how to love in a profound manner, the way that you love people. In moments where we're tested to lash out in anger or annoyance, in frustration, Lord, we just pray that you stop us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and to respond in a loving manner. Lord, when we're interrupted, help us to respond in love. Lord, when somebody begins to open up and share their life, their heart with us, Lord, help us to stop and take the time, just like you do, to listen and to love. Lord, when people come into our lives who feel rejected, unloved, unappreciated, Lord, help us to love them like you love them. And Lord, help us to not only speak words of love, but to also act out with love. Holy Spirit, empower us. Empower us daily. Guide us, Lord, in the way of love. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you that you gave your life on the cross, that you suffered in place, in our place, Lord, that you took all of our sins upon yourself, even though you knew no sin, and were led like a lamb to be slaughtered for us, because you love us. And Lord, we rejoice that you rose from the grave and that you are alive today. Glory to you. And thank you because you conquered death. You have everlasting life. And that you give that to all of us here this morning who believe in you and declare you the Son of God, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for every person here this morning. Thank you for this church. Lord, help us to impact our city, our communities, by the power of your love and the gospel message. Use us, Lord, to save the lost, Lord, to bring the message of the gospel to the lost. And Lord, thank you so much for who you are, our King, our Savior. Our hope of life is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.